I want to remind you that Jesus looked at the multitudes, and the Bible says he had compassion on them. You know what we should do when we look at those in our world? We should have compassion on them. Amen. We want to be like our Savior. But how we need to have compassion on those who are hurting, those that are struggling, those that are bound, those that are sick, those that are not doing right. I would tell you, those who are our brothers and sisters, those that have strayed away, those that don't believe, all need to know that God loves them, that he's for them, and he wants to help them. I really believe that. He wants to help them. He loves them. I mean, he sent his son to die for them. He wants to help them. And he's chosen us to be his ambassadors, his representatives. The church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be his voice to share the good news, his feet to go where they are, and his hands to reach out to a lost and hurting world. In 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20, in the NIV, it says this: all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. Now here's where it gets really rough for religious people: not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. You see, we have a message for this world, and that is that God loves them, and he has paid the price so that they could have a real relationship with him. Jesus wants us to represent him. And I have to tell you, Jesus is not coming back to win the lost. He wants to do that through us. We are his representatives. Do you know someone who isn't close to the Lord? Do you know somebody that's going through a difficult time? Do you know somebody that's hurting? Well, we need to be ready to share the message of love and reconciliation. It's too often our message gets covered up by our religion. It gets convoluted by self-righteousness and judgment. Oh, there's so much of it going on in our world right now. I'll tell you, many Christians are misrepresenting Jesus in their anger and their judgment and their accusations. I'm telling you, they're misrepresenting Jesus. And too often, people don't hear our message because they don't see the love of God in our actions or hear it in our words. Now, some people act like words are no big deal, but, well, I hope that Christians don't act that way, because if you read the Bible, you know that words are a big deal. The scripture says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Oh, that's powerful. Words are important. There's great power. I mean, your words can build up others' faith, or it can bring fear and unbelief. Your words can hurt or heal. They can bless or curse, the Bible says. Such power in our words. Jesus said, Matthew 12:36, I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Now, think about this. Every idle word. Most of us, well, we just kind of let our mouths run sometimes. We don't think about what we're saying. But Jesus says, every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. How many of you believe that? Amen. Wow. So many negative, bitter, angry, hurtful words being spoken in our world right now. And I have to address this. This is one of the issues with social media, is it's even worse. Because we all know that the things that people say a lot of times on social media, they wouldn't say to your face, but they just have at it on social media. And it's out there. Those words are powerful. I hope that tonight we'll hear this word and let God change our heart so that we can be used of God in a greater way to encourage, to comfort, to lift others up, to help, to heal, bring faith, strength to others. Lots of heartache and trouble in this world, and I want to tell you, we need to be a blessing to those that are going through a difficult time. Amen. And I want to remind you tonight of the Lord's servant, Job. Job was a man who lost everything. I mean, he lost his health, he lost his children, his wealth, everything, except for a nagging wife who told him to curse God and die. And we all have heard the story of Job, I think. But here's the thing. You might not realize this, but the Lord said 6 times in the book of Job, he called Job, my servant Job. That's really a strange thing that happens in the book of Job after he suffered such great loss. Most of the book of Job is about his 3 friends trying to tell him what he did wrong that brought all this on him. And as you read it, if you do read it, I don't even like to read it, and I'll tell you why in just a second. But as you read it, a lot of it sounds right. And there's probably some truth mixed in with what's not true. That's always the way the devil works, by the way. He just, you know, he speaks some truth, but he just puts a little twist in it to get you headed the wrong direction. And so as you read that, it sounds right. But here's what I know. At the end of the book, the Lord tells those friends, you did not speak what is right about me as my servant Job has. So I know those guys missed it. But they spent all this time criticizing Job, telling him, oh, this is all your fault. You've done something wrong. When what Job needed from his friends was compassion and comfort and understanding and friendship. But over and over they accused Job. They're so judgmental. One way or another, it's your fault. One of the craziest things to me in our generation is that there are a lot of preachers that have decided it was Job's fault, and they pull a couple of verses out of context and don't even deal with the rest of the book. They just totally ignore it, but they say it was Job's fault. They sound just like Job's friends. They need to read the whole book, all I'm saying. It's amazing how messed up people can get when they pull a phrase out from here and there and disregard the rest of the book. But these guys, instead of helping Job, all they did was criticize and tell him it was his own fault. Job 19, 1 through 3, Job says, how long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? Wow. Break me in pieces with words. Words can hurt. These 10 times you have reproached me, you are not ashamed that you have wronged me. And see, some foolish people act like words are no big deal, but we all know words can wound. They can torment your soul. And Job says they can break you in pieces. You ever been wronged by somebody's words? You ever been hurt by somebody's words? Yes, we all have. I mean, I've forgiven, but I can remember hurtful words that were spoken to me 40 years ago. Why don't you forget it? I'm working on it, and I'm getting better at forgetting things as I get older. But we all know it's not that simple, is it? We forgive. But it's hard to forget because those wounds hurt so bad when it happened. But whether it's intentional or unintentional, we've also all been on the giving end of hurtful words. Maybe we didn't even mean to, but that we've all been a part of that ourselves. Why do we do it? I think a lot of the time there's judgment hidden in our heart somewhere that needs to be dealt with. And we end up sounding like Job's friends. We find fault with others. We tell them what they're doing wrong. And we act like we have the answers. Just like Job's friends. We need to be careful that we show love and compassion to people. And that the words that we speak don't condemn, but instead help bring healing and wholeness. You ever found yourself going through something and you wondered why? Been there so many times. We need to know that sometimes things happen to people for no fault of their own. Hear me now. I'm well aware that sometimes our actions bring consequences on us. That's very evident, and it's scriptural. But we also need to know that there are times that things happen to people and people go through things, and it's not because you did something wrong. In fact, I want to show you this in the scripture. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." Now Jesus wasn't saying that this man and his parents were sinless. He was saying that this blindness was not the result of his sin or his parents' sin. And then he says this. He says, "But this happened that the works of God should be manifest in him." In other words, God had a plan to heal this man, that he would be glorified in it. And Jesus did that very thing. He healed this man. But we just need to understand that a lot of the time when we see somebody going through a hard time, we start looking for, well, they must have brought this on themselves somehow. It's one of the worst forms of judgment is when we assign blame. Well, this happened to them because. Don't do it. Don't say it. Don't think it. They got what they deserve. What do we deserve? The wages of sin is death. I mean, this is for me too, but I want it to be pointed tonight, okay? What do you deserve? Watch it. Watch yourself before a holy, righteous God. We all deserve hell. Now, if you don't believe that, you don't understand the gospel. Jesus had to die. That was the only way. A spotless, sinless lamb died on a cross in our place. That's the only way. We didn't get what we deserved. His mercy does not treat us as our sins deserve. So we need to be real careful about passing judgment on anybody and saying, well, they got what they deserve. And I want to tell you, if our mouth says such things, what ugly, ugly is in our heart. And we need to get it out. We need to let the Lord deal with it. It's just, you know, we talked about judgment. recently in one of our pride messages, but we need to address it tonight because it has such an impact on our words a lot of the time. We need to make sure that we don't judge people that are going through a rough time. I mean, if somebody's hurting, somebody's going through a divorce, or they got a teenager that's on drugs, or they can't pay their bills, or whatever else it might be, the last thing they need is for somebody to tell them that it's their own fault and, you know, tell them everything they've done wrong. What they need to know is that however they got here, the Lord loves them and He wants to help them. I really believe that. The Lord loves them and He wants to help them. Now, you know, that's up to them to let the Lord into their life or let the Lord show them what they need to do in that situation. But I believe the Lord loves them and He wants to help them. Right. 2 Corinthians 1:3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted by God." Have you been comforted by God? We need to comfort those that are in any trouble. Whatever they're going through, we need to comfort them. You know, like Job, those people need compassion and comfort, understanding, friendship. But like Job's friends, too often, people end up judging them. Matthew 7:1-2, Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you." He says very plainly, if we judge, we're going to be judged with the same amount of judgment. There's a tragic story in the scripture. Most of us are probably familiar with it. But the great man of God, the great King David, committed a horrible sin when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then he had her husband, Uriah the Hittite, left in battle alone to be killed. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, the prophet Nathan came to David, and he told David a story about a rich man who had many flocks and herds. But when a visitor came to his house to stay, the rich man went and took a lamb from a poor man. This poor man only had one little lamb that was a family pet. It ate at his table and drank from his own cup. And the rich man took this man's lamb and served it to his guest. And the Bible says this in 2 Samuel 12:5-7. David's anger was greatly aroused. Get this, his anger was greatly aroused. Watch yourself when you start getting really mad. His anger was greatly aroused against the man. That sense of justice, boy, I know how that feels. Makes me mad when I see injustice. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing, because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." Nathan was pointing out to David, I mean, here's David, the king, and you know how it was at that time. He had several wives, and he could have had many, many more. But he took this man's only wife and then had him killed to cover it up. What a horrible sin. David had pronounced judgment on himself. He said, "This man will die." Well, the Lord spared David that he wouldn't die, but he also said that the sword would never depart from his house. And David had so much heartache and tragedy in his life. He had pronounced his own judgment. What did Jesus say when we pronounce judgment? We're going to receive it ourselves, just the same way David the child that was born to David and Bathsheba died. One of his sons raped one of his daughter. Then Absalom, his son, killed that son. And then Absalom later was killed. Such heartache for David. And I wonder sometimes if we bring trouble on ourselves, not just because we sinned, but because we judged others. We all know the story of the woman caught in adultery. They bring this woman to Jesus and they want to stone her. We don't know what he said or what he wrote, but Jesus bent down and began to write in the dirt and they all went away. And when they've all gone, Jesus says, "Woman, where are your accusers?" And she says, "There are none." And he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Well, here's the thing. We don't do that anymore. We don't use rocks, stones. We use words. Gossip. Proverbs 18:8 in the NIV says, "The words of a gossip are like choice morsels." Oh, they're good going down. They're not that good when they come back up. Reminds me of a fun story. One little rural church had a mean-spirited gossip named Mildred. She made a mistake, however, when she accused George, a new member, of being an alcoholic after she saw his pickup truck parked in front of the town's only bar one afternoon. She commented that everyone seeing it there would know what he was doing. Now, George, being a man of few words, he just walked away. He didn't explain. He didn't defend. Nothing. That night, George drove his pickup over to Mildred's house and parked it out front of her house, and he left it there all night. Judge not, or it will be measured back to you. Which is the worst sin, drunkenness or gossip? Let me tell you, it don't matter. Both of them are a sin to God. And I read in the book of James, if you're guilty of one point of the law, you're guilty of the whole thing. We just need to be careful that we don't judge. Another one is Romans 4:13. "Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore." Just stop it. Good grief. But judgment is one of the most hurtful form of using our words. And if we stop the judgment, I want to tell you to stop a lot of the hurtful words. Gossip, saying bad things about people. We covered this one a few weeks ago, but I need to talk about it again tonight. James 4:11-12 says, "Do not speak evil one of another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There's one lawgiver who's able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another?" So I want to address this. You know, when he says speak evil, in the NIV, it uses the word slander. And that's really not a good translation. And I want to explain why. I want to get a little deeper in this. But we use the word slander in our time. It's used when we're talking about somebody saying something about somebody that's a lie. And that's not what the Greek text is talking about here. It's talking about saying something about somebody that is bad, whether it's true or not. That's not the issue. It's not a sin because it's a lie. It's a sin because it's unkind. Speaking evil about somebody. You're saying something bad about them. And I just want you to understand that we got to watch that judgment where we're saying unkind things about people. And again, pride so often is the source that's behind that judgment. We judge others to make ourselves look better. That guy is such a wimp. What's in our heart? I'm so much tougher and stronger than he is. Two Christian women talking about another woman. One says to the other, she thinks she's so special. She's so full of pride. What's hidden in her heart is that in her pride, she thinks that she's more humble and godly. Many, many harsh words spoken because of unforgiveness. A lot of the time when somebody has a hurt inside that they haven't allowed the Lord to heal, they haven't been willing to forgive, there's this anger and they lash out at other people. They say hurtful things to other people, especially the one that hurt them. But we don't repay evil for evil. We overcome evil with good. We don't take vengeance with our words. Oh, it's just another way to get payback. To tell others what somebody did. And sometimes our harsh words, they just come out of anger. Remember, it was in anger that David passed judgment on himself. But when we're going through a hard time and we want to blame somebody, it's just easy to be angry. Some people say, well, I have a right to be angry. Well, I don't know where that is in the Bible. What I do know is that James 1:19 and 20 says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. First of all, we talked about words tonight. We need to be slow to speak. We need to measure our words. We need to think before we speak. Listen, it's not just cliche. We really do. We need to slow down, and especially when we're angry. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And then it says this, for the wrath of man, our wrath, our anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Somebody's angry with you, it can be hard. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You just take it to the next level. But so much hurtful words being spoken in our culture. What we need to be doing is encouraging others and comforting others and giving hope, speaking words of faith, speaking words that bring healing and strength. Amen. Right. We're supposed to not just have the answer. We do. His name is Jesus. But we're supposed to be part of the answer in this world. Right. Amen. We're the body of Jesus in the world. And we've got a message. And we need to be communicating it. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul, health to the bones. Pleasant words. Oh, let's find some pleasant words. And we just need to try to do this all the time, where we just have something pleasant, something nice to say. I just got to tell you, anybody can be curt and smart aleck and sarcastic and ugly. And I got to tell you, this old boy, without the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm all over that stuff. I mean, I grew up in a lawyer's home. But my dad, the lawyer, didn't want to argue with me. He was too smart to argue with me. Proverbs 12:25 in the NIV says, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Somebody's anxious, somebody's troubled. Oh, give them a kind word. You see somebody's down, upset. realize you have the power to turn their focus to the Lord. Power in words. James chapter 3. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that you shall receive a stricter judgment. This isn't talked about much in church culture today, but those who teach have a great responsibility. And as I get older, I feel the weight of it more and more and more. I just realize more and more how important it is that we say what is right about the Lord and we rightly divide the word of truth. He goes on, he says, for we all stumble in many things. Who stumbles? We all. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. We all fail sometimes. We all say foolish things. We've all said things we wish we could take back. And I got to tell you, I mess up a lot. It wasn't a joke Sunday when I said I've had a lot of experience of saying I'm sorry. You know, whether it's my wife or my kids or my friends or my enemies, I've messed up a lot of times with my words. You know, I told you I love sarcasm. Well, sarcasm can be really funny, but sometimes it can be really ugly. Right. Now, for some of you guys, if you don't know what sarcasm is, that's when your wife tells you you're right. Verse 3, indeed we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they're so large, they're driven by fierce winds, they're turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Here's what that is that your words can turn the course of your life. Your words can make friends or enemies. Your words can get you fired or hired. Your words can bring success or failure. Your words can get you married and they can get you divorced. Words are powerful. And we need to use that not only to head our lives in the right direction, but to help others. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Every year we hear about somebody, you know, threw a match out or cigarette or something and they started this fire and it burned up 10,000 acres. And behold, how great a fire. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So much harm can be done from our words. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. I want to tell you, we can't do it on our own. It takes the help of the Holy Spirit. But we have the Holy Spirit, and we can, with the help of the Holy Spirit. We just have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us and to check us. We got to yield to Him. Sometimes when that old nature wants to mouth off, it's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless God our Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. I'm trying to go fast, y'all, because I know I'm on the clock here tonight. Some of you are going to get up and leave before I'm done, so I want to get done. Here's the thing. You can't have it both ways. You know, we want to praise the Lord and bless God, and we want to help people and say the right things. But then we got this junk coming out of our mouth that undermines it all. Saying something ugly, saying something religious, saying something mean-spirited, judgmental, gossiping. We got to get it right. And he gives us a hint here. Can a grapevine bear figs? No. You got to change the heart. We got to deal with it in our heart. That's where the real issue is. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if the mouth is speaking some stuff that it shouldn't be speaking, where's the real issue? It's right here. And that's where we got to deal with it. I mean, we got to identify it, that that's wrong, that that kind of fruit shouldn't be in our life. But then we need to realize that it's a heart issue. You can't just, you know, I'm going to bite my tongue. And no, we need to deal with the heart. We need to allow the Lord to deal with the heart. Get the judgment, the pride, the unforgiveness, the anger, all the ugly out of the heart. That's what we need to do. In Psalm 139, 23 and 24, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. And I want to encourage you tonight to just spend some time before the Lord, whether it's tonight or in the morning, but spend some time before the Lord. And I think that we can use it backwards here, where we look at our words and realize there's some things that need to be dealt with. But pray that prayer like the psalmist and ask the Lord to search your heart and show you if there are some things that are coming out in your life, out of your mouth, that shouldn't be there, and some issues that need to be dealt with. It may be some hurts from your past, or it may be just some attitudes that shouldn't be there. But I just want to encourage you tonight to allow God to search your heart. One of my very favorite verses, I get to get it in here tonight, Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. See, we'll get them both here. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's what we want. We want our words and the meditation of our heart. I want to encourage you about this. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And you know, all of this rancor and ugly spirit, and people saying all kinds of mean stuff and just being hateful, and sometimes in Jesus' name, it's contagious. And you listen to that stuff, or you look at it on social media, it'll get down in you. You need to watch yourself. Guard your heart. Recognize that spirit, that attitude, that anger, that judgment, and say, I'm not receiving that. I'm not letting that get in me. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be merciful. I'm going to share the love of Jesus with people. We can't allow that to infect our heart. But guard your heart. Keep it clean before the Lord. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Stand with me. We're going to pray.